Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
You guys going to bet the Heat to cover tomorrow, or are you still going to be a bunch of cowards?
You're going to beat them twice in a row?
I'm absolutely not betting them tomorrow.
No, Jack.
No.
You guys still aren't buying in, huh?
Oh, I'm buying in, but to beat same team, same good team twice in a row within 3 days, no thank you.
I'm buying into them not being in the play-in round. I'll give you that.
Yeah, no, they're fun. They're exciting. They're fun to root for, you know?
Yes.
What do you want me to call them? A dynasty? What do you mean?
No. Not a dynasty. And I'm not doing the thing where I'm crowning them on November
11th. I said they're fun and they're exciting and they're fun to root for. And that wasn't enough for you?
No, it wasn't, because you followed that up with yes when Crowder said, I'm buying in for them to just not be a playing team.
So that could be anywhere. Yeah, that could be anywhere 1-7.
That seems like a compliment, doesn't it? 1-7 in the East?
I don't know about that. I don't know if that's a compliment. I genuinely think we should be paying attention to what has transpired here. Yesterday, they give the Cavs, who just embarrassed them in the first round, without Tyler Hero, without Bam Adebayo, their two best players, and they took it to them, and the entire team contributed in the most exciting Heat game since the end of the Jimmy Butler era. Like, last night, to me, was a statement victory by Spo and by this franchise.
Solana, they took it to him. They beat him by one with a sixth of a second left.
Well, also, are you suggesting that you wipe the taste out of what happened in the playoffs last season away with one victory in the 11th game of the season?
On a Monday.
100%. 100%.
What? Last night was fun as hell.
Yes.
It was fun as hell. And you thought they were dead as a doornail after Spider Mitchell hit that three where he touched the baseline, by the way. Both feet were on the baseline. No question. They didn't even look at it. But you thought they were dead as a doornail. And then Spo does the Spo magic, or Chris Quinn magic, if you want to say. But to say that removes what happened in the postseason? I mean, I don't want to, like, last night was really fun, so I don't want to crap on it, but come on, bro.
It's not that it removes the stink of what happened, but this Heat team, who couldn't score more than 90 points in their two home games to get mopped off the floor in the most lopsided first round exit in the history of the league, came back with, for the most part, the same roster. They add Norman Powell, which is huge. I'm not denying that. But for the most part, the same roster, and have completely changed their entire approach.
No question.
And yesterday, they got to go up against that same team and played the style that team has popularized without Bam and Tyler and beat them at their own game.
It was awesome.
And to me, Hawk, that's proof positive that this Heat team has not only incorporated a new style, but they should be looked upon as a team that has completely changed what their expectations should be at this point of the season. And again, I'm not saying that they should be a favorite in the East or whatever, but this isn't just a, well, maybe they'll miss the play-in tournament.
Well, you just said the same thing. They're not the favorites in the East, which is exactly what Crowder said. They're not a play-in team.
They'll be about the sixth seed, fifth seed.
I don't know about that.
It is surprising that Spo totally turned his coaching style around, especially offense. I never thought I'd see that offense out of a Spo team. It's impressive. It's 11 games in, and guys are already injured. And can they keep that pace up? There's questions, Solana. There are questions in this.
I want to celebrate last night's win, but I think you're putting a little too much credence into it, because what happens if they lose tomorrow night?
Well, Tyler and Bam aren't there.
I'm with you. Last night was great. Jaime Jaquez Jr. is a man possessed.
Yes.
A man possessed. Like, he's fun as hell to watch. And I loved it. I loved it. But, I mean, I didn't look at last night's game as, oh, my God, they have eclipsed. They have eclipsed every other team in the East.
No, but, Hawk, I'm not saying they've eclipsed every other team in the East. But this team, last year in the playoffs, it was clear. They're not even close to being on the same court with the Cavs, with the Celtics when they're healthy, with the Knicks when they're healthy. They're just not with the Pacers.
Well, remember, there was no Norman Powell. You didn't have that score. And Jaime Jaquez Jr. Mm-hmm. He was just a non-factor.
But it wasn't, 100%. But Khalil Ware last year, compared to the Khalil Ware you got last night, Crowder, we finally got that guy. Yeah. Pella Larsson is playing like a legit NBA starter right now. You have guys like Simone Fontecchio coming off the bench and continuing to be stellar every opportunity he gets. Drew Smith is legitimately playing like a true backup point guard in this league, not just somebody that everybody thinks is connected to Spo somehow, some way in a conspiracy theory. And Andrew Wiggins is playing like Andrew Wiggins from the 2023 or 2022 NBA Finals when he was the second best player in that series. And then you add Norman Powell, who just fits perfectly to everything the Heat are trying to do.
But again, you're suggesting that that's going to continue November, December, January, February, March.
11 games, Solana. Fontecchio and Larsson aren't carrying us to the finals, Solana. It sounds good. It's cute. They go deep because they run fast. They play 12 guys. We're watching it, Solana. It's fun. But you want me to say that, oh, they're top three in the East? No, never. No.
All I'm saying is they're this good without their two best players incorporating a completely new brand and approach of basketball, and they're this good through 11 games. Why wouldn't they be better with 30 games under their belt, 52 games under their belt?
Because people regress to who they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality of it. I hope they don't. I hope you're right. I hope they run away with the East. But I think you're putting the cart in front of the horse a little bit on this one.
Drew Smith will never have a four steal game the rest of the season.
But again, like, what's going to happen if they lose tomorrow night?
That is true. Drew Smith's not going to have four. Like, he had that big game defensively. He's never going to do that again. It's the first time in his life.
No, it's not. He's been putting up those numbers consistently the entire season.
You say that, if I look it up and go through my phone, it's never going to happen. It's never happened.
If you look through his stats, Leonardo DiCaprio is 60 today.
And Crowder, you've been begging for somebody who, throw me the ball, I'll go get you a bucket.
Norman.
Throw me the ball, I'm an instant bucket. And they finally have that. This is the funnest team in the NBA right now.
It's
They're
fun.
Putting up
Absolutely.
More points than anybody
yeah,
in the NBA.
Yeah, who's arguing that?
Than anybody in the NBA. And you guys are like, yeah, they won't make the play-in. Okay, cool.
Solana, you ever date a girl back in the day that was fun? Did you knew you weren't going to marry? This is fun to watch. I'm not marrying them to a championship.
I want you guys committed. I want you guys bought in.
Well, I'm not going to do that after 11 games.
Well, okay. I think you're missing the mark here.
All right.
Buy in. Let's go.
So when they win, buy in. When they lose, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 7-4. It's not like they're...
So it's fun on a text thread. you're missing a boat.
He texts me. Yeah, he texts me last night. He's like, oh, you chose the wrong team, Bulls over the Heat, which I never chose the Bulls over the Heat. I just enjoy watching the Bulls. But he's like, oh, you chose the wrong. I go, The Heat are 7-4. The Bulls are 6-4. What exactly are we doing here? Did you see Wembanyama in the fourth quarter against the Bulls last night? Did you see what his numbers were?
He's special.
It's unbelievable. Like, the guy just decided, yeah, my game now. My game on all sides, and just give me the ball.
Oh, we talked about it, and I don't wish injury on him. You have to have somebody just go hit him.
That, as I was watching it last night, I'm like, there's no way to stop him. I think he scored 16 points in the fourth quarter.
16 or 18 points in the fourth quarter. Crazy. I have the numbers written down. It's stupid.
You want to talk about
man.
Stupid? Yeah, this hero of yours, Billy Donovan.
Hey,
he's got Boozy on the bench for the final 8 minutes of the game. Some of us have over 15 and a half. He's stuck on 15. He's not playing Boozy. In the meantime, San Antonio's clawing back a lead, goes on to win the game, and you got Boozy riding the bench, you jackass.
Boozy a defensive stopper?
Whatever it is, I can tell you that Billy Donovan's a Boozy stopper.
Billy ain't worried about no over-unders.
A Boozy stopper.
Billy about winning basketball
games. I don't think he's worried about winning basketball games. Josh Giddey wasn't even playing. How do you keep Boozy on the bench?
Yeah. Wemby finished with 38, 12, 6 threes, 5 assists, 5 blocks. He shot 58% from the field,
insane.
67% from three.
That's insane.
I'm not saying to do this, but you got to get you a Udonis Haslam.
You got to get a crowbar.
And say, bro, you got 5. You got to go send somebody right. after
I want to talk basketball down. With Will Manzo, so let's wrap it up.
All right. The Panthers won last night. They beat VGK 3-2. And Canes Hoops blew out Stetson. Thanks, Jimmy, for the update on that. Appreciate you.
No problem.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, you rascals. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here. 15 minutes of heat brought to you by the Lexus December to Remember sales event. Get offers on select models for a limited time. Learn more at Lexus.com. Heat win last night, 140-138 in overtime. Andrew Wiggins with the slam at the buzzer. Niko Jovic with the assist to Wiggins.
Hell of a pass.
Hell of a pass, dude.
Hell of a pass. This was the call last night from Jason Jackson on the Miami Heat audio experience.
Nico has the rock near side. Everybody's in motion. Gets it right at the rim. It's all over. The catch and throw down for Andrew Wiggins, who's getting mobbed by his entire squad. This one belongs to the Heat.
Thank you, Lord, the good two.
Man, what a time. Did you guys see the dog pile in the corner? Did you see they almost ran over Asia Wilson? Oh, what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. The Heat, they win in overtime. Yesterday, Jovich with that beautiful throw, that beautiful pass to Andrew Wiggins on the win. This was Nico in the locker room afterwards explaining it on how the whole thing came to be. Got the things potted up there, Vlad, on the computer.
Like, I kind of expected that they were going to make me throw the pass, you know. I guess I'm solid at it. And I was confused because Korzpo just handed the board to Quinny, and Quinny started running a play. And I think everybody was just looking around. I couldn't believe the shot that Donovan made. And he was making sure that we were locked in for the play. We got out of the huddle, and I stepped on the sideline, and they didn't know who was going to guard who. At first, they put Mobley on me, and I thought that was a good idea for them because the pass would have been, you know, pretty hard to throw. And then as soon as they changed, I was like, okay, well, I got a Donovan on me, you know, small guy can throw the pass over him. And as soon as I saw that they put a big fella, God, I forget his name, Mobley on Jaime.
Forget his name.
I looked at Wiggs, and Wiggs knew it was going to work. So as soon as they screamed for him, I just knew I had to throw it perfectly at the rim. So he got just enough time to put it in, and yeah, that's it. Simple as that.
Were you surprised how open? I knew you thought it was going to work. Were you surprised how open Andrew got?
Yeah, a little bit, because he was really open. He was wide open. But I think we ran similar play against Chicago, I think 2 years ago, when Gabe threw one to Jimmy. So yeah, I really believed in the play. And, you know, it works. So I think we really deserve this win. And, you know, you can see that we're pretty happy.
Wow. Goosey's doing.
That guy's got a schnauz, man.
He does. and looking at it from the side.
On. Oh, my God.
I don't like this.
It looks like Snuffleupagus.
It does.
Very sensitive issue for me. Don't yeah. Do this.
Yeah.
Who was in the Muppets? That was it, right?
Gonzo?
Gonzo. He's got a Gonzo nose.
I don't like
Gonzo.
That. He, it was a great pass. It was a great play yesterday for the Heat. Back
like,
at it,
watching it, did you go, "Oh no, they got a 4-point again"?
It was like it was just so pristine. You know what my feeling was, Leroy?
Yeah,
I was like, "Well, I was so ready for double overtime. I couldn't believe it was just like, oh my god, that was flawless." And I couldn't believe how. I just thought point four. I'm like, how the f did Andrew Wiggins jump that fast and slam
and
it before the end?
No, you catch and shoot. You can still shoot at point three. If it's less than point three, you can't do
that. It just happened so bad. And it was like no doubt.
You know what there isn't, right?
Hmm?
Say if he would have shot the ball and it looked like it was going in. There's no goaltending on an inbound pass.
Mm. Yeah, because it's out of bounds.
Right.
Yeah.
So if it was going over the rim, he could have still caught it and dunked it.
Dave South says, that's hunkering down.
Dave South called him Noses Malone.
Point four.
Crazy night of the NBA last night.
Great games.
A lot of great games. We do have some news this morning. Apparently, Nico Harrison is going to get fired as general manager of the Dallas Mavericks.
I'm trying to figure out who puts out an announcement that we go fire him.
I've never
at 11 o'clock.
At 11 o'clock.
Your ass is getting fired.
You're getting fired. I've never seen a post
from a team or anyone that says we're going to fire someone and we're going to tell you the exact time we're going to fire them.
Yeah, the guys are referring to Shams, who says breaking: the Dallas Mavericks and owner Patrick Dumont are expected to fire general manager Nico Harrison at a 10 a.m. Central Time meeting on Tuesday. Sources tell me and Tim McMahon. Then follows up 5 minutes later and he just says the Mavericks are firing Harrison 9 months after the jarring and stunning Luka Doncic trade, a move for which Dumont took accountability and accepted as a mistake in a courtside interaction with a fan on Monday night. That's crazy.
Wait, the owner finally told the fan
he made a mistake? Yeah, you're right, we made a mistake. Because they've been terrible this year.
Well, I know
They've been terrible. No Kyrie. Look.
Luka's just going crazy.
Oh. Like, Luka's one of those dudes. The same thing with Joker. You can look at him. You can say, man, they need to do this or that. But you can't deny what they do on the court.
But
stop looking at all the other stuff and look at the production.
Well, I think he is a little better now that he is a little healthier.
He is, yes. But he just took him to the finals. Like, it just made no sense.
Yeah, what about that, Vlad? You talk about protection.
Right. No. You're right, guys. Look, you're right. And guess what? Sooner or later, the maturity was going to kick in, and he was going to take better care of his body. Big mistake by Dallas.
You want me to tell you what the worst mistake was? Thinking that you got to steal when you got street clothes back.
Especially when you say you can't win a tough. Oh, you need to win defense. And yeah, okay.
Well, he was just asking during the break. Go ahead and throw what you want to throw. And I'll tell you, like, I'd be terrified to do this.
I saw this on X. On X. And they said it was from Heat Central. Anthony Davis trade to Miami proposal. Heat receive Anthony Davis. Mavs receive Tyler Hero. Fontecchio, Khalil Ware, and the Heat's 2029 first round pick.
Nope.
So you would have a front court of Wiggy, Bam, and AD with Powell and Davion Mitchell in the backcourt.
That sounds great.
That sounds like
except for one small thing we're missing here.
Yeah, he's always
street clothes.
Yeah.
Okay, and we've been through enough of that.
He's always hurt.
Right.
He's always hurt, and he's big. And that's the thing, is like, it's not only
he's big and he's skilled, but I think here's the time for this organization to have some patience with Khalil, because Khalil has a lot of the same skill set, but he's not there.
I think he's going to get this. Like, I really do. I think Khalil Ware started that game yesterday. Again, Jared Allen was using him like a pylon. And I think the thing that I've been impressed with him is just like in these games, how he adjusts and he gets better.
You know what that is? That's the coach can go at him, coach him up, and he'll go out and respond.
Mm-hmm.
And the way sports is today, right, with so many people not being able to receive that, like, you have something there, especially when he has the talent to go out and respond.
We need to get him, I think, a couple touches early, because I think one of the things that I've noticed with him, you give him an alley-oop early, it flicks on for him, Leroy. Like yesterday, you know, he's doing fine, right? He got off to the rough start, comes in the second half. Davion Mitchell throws him an alley-oop, right? He crams it down, and it was just like, it was like Popeye and spinach. Like, all of a sudden, it just went bum, 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 and he was just engaged. So I think, like, the Heat used to have to do this with Chris Bosh, because it was all Wade LeBron. It's like you kind of need some Bosh time, because if you're going to ask this guy to be your pick and roll defender, do all the hard things, you got to feed him a little bit. You got to make him feel some love, and it's always ending up with him having to throw up these threes. It's like, all right, he's got a pretty shot. It's not been the most efficient lately, but we want to see this dude yam it on some people. That's what I want, and so I just think we need to set up for a couple of Khalil Ware alley-oops early on. I just think it does wonders for him.
Throw him a bone.
But
that's just it. Like, you hear, sometimes you hear the way Spo treats him. Like, one mistake, out. Like, well, you're saying he's young and he's got growing pains, but you don't seem to be too tolerant of those growing pains.
Well, that was kind of I guess that's the blessing of Bam not being in yesterday, because
he didn't have a choice.
You got no choice.
That's why some of these guys play so well when there's only eight guys available.
Yeah.
You know, but here's the problem. When you see that, and you see Khalil at 20, now you got to, like, hey, now we know what you can do.
Yeah.
So let's go. This is what we expect. But instead, it'll be back to the same old thing. When Bam gets back, Kalel, nice knowing you. You're going to get your 10, 15 minutes. If you screw up in the first two, you're out. Like, it's hard. It's hard to play with confidence.
I know. I think he's got I think this team though, I think his teammates are really like doing a good job of fueling it. Like I think Bam's giving him the best.
It's almost like they understand what he's going through and they're trying to help him through it.
I was asking Nico about this last night and I was like, "Hey, you were kind of through this. Like are you like what kind of support system are you?" Cuz Jaime y'all went through. He goes, "Yeah, we just as the young collection." He goes, "We're all leaning on each other a lot. We're sticking with each other because we've all been there through the downs." And so I think that's because he even said, he was joking, but he's like, "You know, Nico, he's honest." He goes, "He was good, but he could have even had a more monster offensive game." You know, like so.
Yeah, because he's still missing bunnies.
Still missing bunnies.
What's up with the put? Like.
And that's what I'm saying.
He gets when he gets a rebound, he tries to put it in so. Quick that he doesn't make him when he could just gather and go up strong.
I'm telling you, you give him a couple alley oops early. This dude's gonna it's just like hitting the free throw. Like just get him seeing it. It's gonna be a spark for him. But awesome game for him yesterday. We'll take a break when we come back. Monday Night Football last night. I didn't feel great. Jalen Phillips was awesome, but what's up with these games stinking lately? I didn't watch any of it, but
it
I just saw
cold,
the.
Toby.
It was cold.
Nah, it was not even that. What it happened? Just you know what it was? It was sloppy.
Every game
like
10,
turnovers 7. In the red zone, like just a whole bunch of. And I'm gonna tell you what. You want it now or you want it later?
Take a break.
Let's take it later.
Take a break.
Back after this.
Hey, welcome back in here on WQAM. It is Thursday, Hollywood. Dono, Dan Day along here with you. And look at this. Alex Solana has joined us. He's on video as well as he makes his way, I think, to the gym, you told me this morning. You getting a little exercise in there, Solana? How you doing, man?
Yeah, man, unlike you, you know, I hit the gym. I'm still working on my basketball game, making sure our next media day tournament, I have to carry your ass again. So just go get a little cardio in.
Well, my playing days may be over, Solana, but I am a coach now at the JCC League. So
are you
I'm coaching. And
what are you teaching them? How to brick shots? That's all I remember doing.
I got to tell you, my team has not had a lot of success this year. We're learning. we're going through the process. The process is taking longer than I had hoped here, but we're working on it. But last night, the Heat do fall to the Cavs, 130 to 116. He gets smashed in the fourth quarter, 37-19. Now, I'm not like overreact to regular season NBA guy here, Solana, but clearly you want to win these games. And I feel like we've had this talk many seasons in a row now that, like, you got to win these games at home because you don't want to end up in the play-in tournament. And I don't think that this is a play-in team anymore. And I'll get to this Norman Powell thing, which has been an incredible story. But if you can, just walk us through last night's game. What did you see in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, and you know what? Hollywood going into – and Dono going into that game yesterday, part of my pregame show, I was doing the keys to the game. I said, hey, you know, if we feel like this team is genuinely legit – and when I say legit, I'm not saying – they're title contenders. Like, you don't know through 11 games if they're title contenders or not. But I do think with the way that the offense is playing, with how Norman's competed, and with the results of this season, the teams they beat without Tyler, and now beating that Cavs team without Bam, the best game of the season, capped off by the best play of the season. I said, hey, I think this team can genuinely compete for a top four, top five seed in the East. The best teams in the East – the best teams in the NBA win that game last night, right? Like, they don't have a drop-off in the fourth quarter when really they coasted in the first half. And if you had told me the Cavs were going to win that game without Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, I would have said, wow, they shot 33s, right? They set an NBA record for threes. Sam Merrill and Dean Wade would go off. Guys, Sam Merrill and Dean Wade combined for 0 points at halftime. Dean Wade finished with 8 points. Sam Merrill had five. The Heat made more threes than the Cavs last night. Period, end of story. Miami lost this game in the fourth because for the first time all season, they could not allow the pace they want to play at impact the game. And to me, I don't think it's a big concern, but that's the first time this season where you couldn't get stops, You couldn't get out in transition, and you had to rely on your half-court offense, and Miami couldn't generate a single thing. So I think there was a lot you could learn yesterday. Forget who you were playing. That's still a really good Cavs team. It was the first time this season where Miami has to say, hey, we turned the ball over a lot, and without getting stops, we couldn't get out in the open court. Something has to change if we encounter that situation again.
Is that a warning sign to you that maybe this newfound pace of play philosophy, which I've loved watching, like, is that a warning sign to you that maybe it's not as sustainable as we hoped, or that there's just more adjustments needed and maybe more adaptation to get that working consistently?
Yeah, Dono, it's totally fair. You know, I don't know if it's a warning sign yet, because that's literally the first quarter that Miami all season hasn't been able, not to necessarily only have the results, but where it hasn't impacted their offense at all. You can look back to that Denver game. Even though they couldn't stop the Joker, they never can, their offense was still scoring points, and they were down double digits in the fourth, and they were still able to come out and you know, play that style, get to the rim, and score points. And, you know, they ended up losing by less than double digits because of their offense. So even in the losses this season, they've played to the style that they want to play. Yesterday, I'm telling you, man, like, it was the first game all season where they're down 4 with 7 minutes to go. You're like, all right, no big deal. They're down 8 with 6 minutes to go, and everybody's kind of looking around the arena. All right, hey, you know what? When are you going to kick it into gear here? Then all of a sudden, it's a 12-point game with 3 minutes to go, and the Heat offense hasn't generated anything. So, you know, something to monitor for sure, because if it gets to the point where other teams are doing what the Cavs did last night, packing the paint, putting a bigger body on Jaime Jaquez Jr., making things a lot more difficult when Norman Powell catches, you know, those are things that could lead to your offense slowing down. But bottom line, the Heat just have to clean things up. 21 turnovers. That's unacceptable. Yeah. I don't care who you're playing.
Alex Solana here with us. Catch him at 2 o'clock today alongside his co-hosts, Crowder and Mark Hockman. And he also handles all of our Heat hosting here at the station as well. And Solana, you're as close to this as anyone. And my theory around this Heat team is that they don't have to deal with any drama this year. They feel like a very drama-free group. And I know that Jimmy is gone, and that seemed to take a significant toll on this team last season that they never really recovered from. And it just feels like that cloud has been lifted from this team, and they are playing freely and loosely and kind of enjoying themselves. It seems like this team has fun. Do you buy into that theory?
I do. You know, Hollywood, I remember distinctively you and me sitting at Hard Rock last year at our Hard Rock Bets party. And you were making fun of me because I was telling you, hey, this team's not that talented, but you know, the one thing you can rely on is they play hard. And you made fun of me. And you were right to make fun of me, because at the end of the day, they were responsible for the most lopsided loss in the history of the NBA playoffs. But I do think one point I was making to you last year was you can't downplay, not you necessarily, but people can't downplay losing your franchise player in the middle of the season when he literally was telling you, I don't want to be here anymore. I think that messes with a locker room, genuinely, any sport, right, across sports. So this year you come in, you have the first ever barbecue at Coach Spoelstra's house, and the Heat social media team is everywhere. And they're posting video, and they want people to see, like, camaraderie is being built. Mm-hmm. And then you enter this game last night, or excuse me, on Monday, and you get that game winner. Andrew Wiggins is talking to a social person about the play, and Norman Powell comes over and he bear hugs them. And then you see how they're celebrating in the locker room. There's just something about this team where everybody's buying in, and there's no big egos, right? I mean, Tyler Hero might have the biggest ego on this team, but he's not around. And I don't think it's a bad thing about his ego. I mean, it led him to being an all-star. So to your point, like, there's just every personality kind of fits. And I think everybody understands that, hey, nobody here is a superstar. Everybody has to be able to contribute. And when you start off 7-4, without Tyler, Bam misses some games, you're winning against teams that nobody really thought you were winning, I think it adds to that chemistry. So right now, man, everything is fitting. And you mentioned Norman Powell. The Heat essentially got him for nothing, the most lopsided trade last season. And the Clippers are looking like they could desperately use Norman Powell, and he has said the right thing. He's looking for an extension here in Miami, and he's been playing like he deserves one so far.
Well, I wanted to ask you about Tyler Hero, and this is it's going to be a good problem to have when you've got, you know, another prolific scorer and great player returning. But how's the dynamic going to work, Solana? When Tyler Hero is back, whose spot is he taking, and how many shots is he taking away from Norm Powell?
Or Pelle Larsson, Dono. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's fascinating. What I do want to say is I've seen a lot of people ask, hey, can Hero play this style? The Heat are setting less screens on ball screens than any team has in the history of the NBA in the past 15 years. So they've really, for those not paying attention because it's so early in the season, it's not just that they're playing fast. Any team can play fast. But is it going to produce quality results? Miami is setting less screens than anybody. They've committed to getting to the paint, and they've transformed completely the style of basketball in which they play and in which they initiate offense. But I still think there's a lot of area where they can grow. Dono, part of that is three-point shooting. When you're playing at this fast a pace, Miami's not generating enough threes. And a lot of their shots are difficult shots inside the paint, and they've been making those. Last night they didn't, right? Jaime goes 4-14. That's where Tyler Hero, in my opinion, can take this offense to really good right now with the way that they're playing to maybe great, right? In the likes of how Boston played a couple seasons ago, how Milwaukee played a couple seasons ago, how the Cavs were playing a couple seasons ago, where, yeah, you're playing fast, but you're also taking the right shots. The idea, the notion that Tyler can't play this style to me is just ridiculous. I mean, sure, he's used screeners consistently over the past couple seasons, but that's just the way Miami played, right? It wasn't because Tyler needed a screen. This guy can take people off the dribble, and I think in terms of speed of play, he's fine. He's athletic. He's young. He'll be fine. The question is defensively, Norman Powell and Tyler Hero on the floor together. Yeah, that concerns me a little bit, especially since Miami has been giving up a lot of points. They're scoring a lot, so they're going to give up points. But I think, Donald, to answer your question, I'm not concerned about it. I think there'll be a bit of like a learning curve for Hero once he gets back. But once he's back into full swing, I expect this offense to just look a lot better and for them to make more threes and to have somebody else they can rely on. Last night, things are going wrong. You're telling me Tyler Hero can't come in and go and get you some quick offense? Like that could be the difference between nights like that, winning or losing a game. That's your all-star from a season ago.
He'd have been fun to watch this season. They'll continue to be fun to watch, and we'll listen in with Solana on our Heat coverage here on WQAM. Anything coming up on the show today that you want to promote?
We'll be at Amerant Bank Arena. The Panthers are playing today.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, you guys talk a lot of Spanish. Tua McDaniel, all of a sudden, they're showing up to press conferences. They're talking Spanish. Time to learn a little bit, Hollywood.
Is Mike McDaniel, is he more eloquent in Spanish than he is in English?
I love what he said. He's like, I would do that language an injustice. And it's like, buddy, you do the English language.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I was gonna say, how do you say om in Spanish?
They ask him if he likes soccer, and he goes into a 7-minute diatribe explaining the World Cup. It's like, all right, you could just say you don't watch it, buddy. We got you.
Wow. Well, so anyway, tune into those guys. They'll be at the Panther game here this evening. Solana, I'm probably going to hit you up, by the way, in the next few days here. I assume you get a discount on Heat merchandise, so I got to get my hands on some of those new Vice things, man. That is the best color combination in the history of uniforms. I love those things.
So fire. Another reason why losing yesterday sucked. You go 0-1.
Yeah, they were in the Vice night.
Yeah. I know. Hey, man, you know what? At least you look good, right?
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
That's a good point. Hollywood, I got you with the discount, but tell Joe Rose that I want to get hooked up for the Miami Open again this year, all right? That's our deal.
He only gets bad seats. I don't know if you've heard, but everything at the stadium only gets bad seats.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter where he sits. He can see wherever.
Thanks, Solana. Appreciate you, man. Have a good one, all right?
All right. Nos vemos. Gracias.
See you, Solana.
All right, Solana, thank you for joining us. He's going to be on the show today, 2 o'clock, with Hochman and Crowder. Joe is going to stop by next. We'll keep it rolling here on the show. We'll check in. We'll go to Spain. We're going international, Dono, when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, let's get into it with Will Manso here. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Will Manso from Local 10 and FanDuel Sports Network. Son, that was fun last night. Will, that was fun. What can you extrapolate? We just had a conversation in the last segment, but what can you extrapolate about the Heat through 11 games?
I mean, number one is fun. That's the biggest word. Like, they're fun again. And that's the thing that was an indictment of the Heat the last few seasons, is that they weren't fun. I mean, it was a style of basketball they were trying to get to, obviously, with Jimmy being the guy and trying to incorporate Kyler as a scorer. And it just was, it was so stagnant at times. This team is fun. I think number two is they're winning at home. And last year, it was pretty embarrassing for a team that ended up making the playoffs that had a losing record at home. And they pride themselves on the atmosphere and the fun of Miami and the Kaseya Center. And to not be good at home is tough. So to have the excitement, like I said the other night, you know, the game they won against Portland, I worked that for FanDuel when it was on Channel 10. It was a great night. It was an exciting game. They won. Norman Powell had big shots. And then last night was just, I mean, the culmination of one of the best games we've seen in the regular season in a long time. And again, it was fun. Have we seen buzzer beaters before? Sure. But they're normally in like 94 to 95 games, you know, not 130 to, you know, 140 type games. So it's just a fun team right now.
And Will, this style of play, I got that here in 2005. That's when I fell in love with the Heat. And Spo's been here, obviously, since I got down here. It looks so much different than what I've seen out of Heat basketball in all those times, 20 plus years. Did we just modernize to normal basketball, or like you're saying, the fun side of it? Because I don't know. It just doesn't seem sustainable. As fast as they run, as much as they shoot, scoring 50 something in the first quarter the other night. Like, is this a successful? It's fun, but is this a successful adjustment that we made?
You know, it's a good question, Channing. I think it is, and obviously we'll find out as the season goes on, but I think the perfect example is, you know, the league for so long was, if you gather star players and you get, you know, big threes or big twos and, you know, superstar guys, which of course, who doesn't want superstars in their team? Obviously, that's still the case to some extent. But I think last year, the last few years, we've seen a change. You know, OKC has Shai Gilgeous. He's a star. I get it. Alexander's a star. But look at the Pacers. The Pacers played a brand of ball that was unique and that people saw as strange, and the up and down nature of it. And you could battle and go back and forth and debate whether Tyrese Halliburton, when healthy, is a superstar, I would say he's the next tier of guys, and I don't see why you couldn't fit the current Heat guys into that. So I think the Pacers proved last year, if you commit to a style and everybody buys into that style, that it can work, that you can win big, that you can play for NBA championships. I think the Heat are banking on that for now until that next star that comes loose that they feel could piece together with what they're doing.
Will, are you still shocked watching it night in and night out? Because I'm seeing the game last night, and I'm watching Jaime Jaquez Jr. take a game-tying shot at the end of regulation to send it into overtime without a screen. And then at the end of the game, when Norman Powell has to get to the bucket again, no screening for anybody. They sent nine screens in an overtime game yesterday. Are you still shocked at not only how it's developed, but how they're excelling without doing what the Heat have done for literally over two decades under Coach Spo?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be. I can't imagine anyone sitting there going, they're not, right? That they're not a little shocked or surprised. And I think you highlighted Jaime and some of the guys, too. You saw Nico the other day, the big game he had. I think the personnel fitting the style has been the thing, right? Because if you force a style and it doesn't equate to your personnel, that goes for any sport, right? I mean, it's the same in football. You play a brand of play on offense and your quarterback doesn't fit in that brand, then you're not going to have success. So I think the style is shocking. The success is shocking. The development is shocking. And I think it goes back to Channing's question as to why it could continue to work, because it seems like the personnel matches it. And what's funny is the only question we really have left to answer, at least right now with the Heat, barring any more injuries, is how is Tyler going to fit in the style? Everybody's asking me, like, hey, do you think Tyler could fit this style? And I'm thinking to myself, shoot, I think this is the perfect style for Tyler. Are you kidding me? Run, shoot, don't sit there and just dribble all day and hang the ball, move space, find the open guy. I think he's going to fit in just fine. So I think, if anything, it's only going to get better as it goes, hopefully, for this team.
Before we run out of time, Will, we need to talk about Nico Harrison. What an absolute dumpster fire in Dallas, right? And so I don't know, it's like something that we were trying to figure out, like what transpires to where Nico Harrison is fired this early on in the season after they seemingly backed up the trade last season. Can you make heads or tails of this?
I can't. And I think, honestly, I wasn't, you know, like everyone saw the news today, nobody was surprised. I mean, maybe surprised, like you said, it's so early in the season, but not him losing his job. The reality is this, guys. The day that he traded Luka Doncic is the day he got fired. I mean, that day cemented he was going to lose his job at some point, because you just can't be the general manager that trades a player like that. You know, we use the term generational player all the time. I get it. Whether you want to call him that or not, he is one of the best players in the league. He's one of the more unique players in the league, and he is in his prime, who had just taken you to an NBA Finals. The day he traded him was the day that he cemented his future. So the fact that it happened now, sure, maybe the timing of it is strange, but you cannot have a legacy where you trade him in your prime and expect to keep that job. And I feel terrible for Mavericks fans. Can you imagine having a player of that caliber on your team? It would be, I guess, you know, look back, if the Heat had traded Dwayne Wade, you know, early in his career when he had gotten to the finals or something, and just said, hey, we're going to go in a different direction because we don't like this about him or something. How you come back from that, I don't know, but it's got to be someone else who does it.
Well, do they have to, like, to Hawk's point, do they have to sign off on that, the management ownership or whatever it is? Because they did change ownership, so I don't know if they really know what the hell's going on. I don't know if Mark Cuban stepped back, but, like, does Harrison have to sign off on things? It's actually, obviously, Pat Riley, maybe he just trusts him, but do they have to sign off on those things at the NBA level?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, to your point, because of the changes going on, I think that maybe the ownership there, and I obviously don't know the inside details on that, but I think the ownership there probably said, well, this is our general manager. This is who we trust. He's giving us his reasoning. Let's trust in his basketball knowledge, which is ridiculous when you look back on it, given what he did. But to your question on the Heat, yes, anything that goes to the Heat, Nicky Harrison trusts Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg and Adam Simon and the whole brain trust with the Heat. But there is an okay that needs to come, and it normally does in a situation like this. Like I use Dwayne Wade as the example, right? In a situation like Dwayne in his prime, if that were ever to come up for some crazy reason, I think that gets vetoed within seconds. Like, you just kind of sit back and say, what are we doing? No, that's ridiculous. Forget what you're telling me about basketball. That's ridiculous. I can't believe no one stepped in and didn't do that with Luka, because it was crazy then, and now that he's fired, it's as crazy as ever that he decided to do that.
Does it feel to you, though, like he's get, because we were talking about this earlier, I kind of feel like he's getting scapegoated here just from the sense that, hey, management signed off on this. And I don't think Nico Harrison was the only person within, you know, the upper management or the brass of the organization that wanted to move him. And I'm with you, Will. The second he pulled off that trade, that's done. It. Like, he's a dead man walking. But doesn't it feel like there was more to this at play behind the scenes, and now management is kind of making it seem like it was Nico Harrison's doing all along?
I mean, could it be? Sure. And there, like you said, there probably has to be other moving parts to it. But unless management said to him, I don't care what you think, you have to trade Luka Doncic, and we find that out after the fact, which I've seen no indication of that, but I'm just hypothetical, that's what you end up learning later, then it's not a scapegoat situation. He's heavily at fault for doing it. The only way it would be is if they said, hey, you got to trade him. We don't want him. We don't want this to be the face of our franchise for whatever reason. We want to commit a different style of basketball, not Luka ball. Let's move him. Unless it's that, it's not a scapegoat. He's at fault for pulling off one of the worst trades in the history of the NBA.
Will, the McRib is back.
I saw that, and I immediately thought of you, which I don't know if it says a lot about you, but I mean, I did immediately think of you.
No one's ever said anything that nice to me before. I appreciate it. Are you going to get one?
I can't. You have to understand, I'm Cuban, so I love pork. I love ribs. I have to have the real stuff. I can't go to McDonald's for that.
What are you talking about?
I'm going to go to
a place.
The real stuff.
What is he talking about? That is
real,
the real
pork.
Stuff. It does not get any more real than a McRib.
Masas de cerdo.
How about I treat you and Giselle to McRibs tonight for dinner? It's on.
Okay, Giselle, you definitely are not getting her to eat that. Are you kidding me?
Really?
She hates it. I have to lie. The only time I ever lie to Giselle is when I get the kids fast food. So what did you feed the kids? I made grilled chicken and vegetables. Really?
She won't eat McDonald's?
She does not believe she hates fast food. Look, in a pinch, she'll have some fries, but you're not getting her with a McRib.
Getting her on the air. She's eating a McRib on the air. There's no question in my mind.
I don't know. Good luck with that. I don't see that happening.
I'm going to do a fast food tour with Giselle. On the every day, she's going to get the long chicken plank at BK. Like, we're going to do all the classic fast
she'll
food
do
meals.
Chick-fil-A. Like, she'll I've seen her Chick-fil-A.
No. We're going BK, McDonald's. Oh, we're going Checkers. Yeah, we're not doing the classy joints.
Giselle, you have to understand, Giselle, she's bougie. She likes the good stuff. If she's going to have a burger,
well,
it's going
to
be at some
I'm about
trendy,
to change
place.
Her and your life for the better when I introduce her to the McRib.
I can't wait, Hawk. I'm excited.
All right. Very excited. I'm excited, too. All right. Will Manso from Local 10. Thanks, Will.
Anytime, guys.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Get to our headlines brought to you by Doral Kia, home of the Pricito. Our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. As your Miami Heat will be back on the hardwood tonight on the Vice Hardwood. Vice Knights. You guys will be able to get that here on FM 104.3 WQAM. Jason Jackson, Amy Audibert do a tremendous job on the Miami Heat audio experience, as does the great Tommy Tighe. Nothing I love more than the opening monologue of a Miami Heat game with Tommy Tighe. Solano will get you going with pre-heat, and you guys can enjoy that. Vice Knights back tonight. Got that. Then you got the Knicks on Friday, NBA
Are
Cup.
Boots on the ground?
I'm not boots on the ground. I'll be back boots on Monday when the Knicks are back in town. And then, I mean, I am going to be so boots on the ground on Wednesday.
With the way this
Warriors.
Oh.
I may be just sitting there with a cup of tea.
You know what? I might join you.
Really?
Yeah, get the Jimmy. Get some Jimmy sound.
I like it.
That way we have something to play Thursday.
Man. I mean, if he plays, you know. So, but the old needs some time off, apparently.
Well, I mean, they're old.
They are old. And apparently, they don't seem to like the young very much on that team. I thought he liked Jonathan Kuminga. Maybe this Pajemski seems like he's annoying people. I was reading some...
Buddy Hield's definitely annoying.
He loves Buddy Hield, though. That's like his sidekick.
Jimmy loves him.
Yeah, Jimmy loves him.
Draymond may not.
He's like, really, that's your best friend? He goes, come on, he's fun, baby. Yeah, great. He's fun. Fun at giving up buckets. Crazy. This is wild. And of course, yesterday the Nico Harrison news heard around the NBA. A lot of people trying to tie Anthony Davis to the Miami Heat. They're like, hey, you should go after Anthony Davis. This dude.
Do we really want that?
Too many injuries. Too many. And he makes a boatload of money and wants an extension this summer, too.
He's only 31 or 32. Dude,
he's going to be 33 in March.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Hey, but here's the problem. I would like the Heat to go a majority of the season when most of their players playing all the games. Now, granted, you know, you're going to have some BAM issues. I understood that. Tyler hasn't played this year. I understand that. But I'm not going to sign a guy who, you know, for a fact, when you need him the most, could be hurt and out. And there's no change of scenery that has made that any different.
He also, you know, the thing that's funny about it is, like, if they want to do that trade, you know, I heard people talking about this, and they're like, well, you just got to attach either Wiggins, Norman, or Tyler to the Terry Rozier deal. And I'm like, does anybody want the drama of having the Terry Rozier thing on their books? Because he's not getting paid. It's in an account. Like, I feel like that's a nuke $24 million. I don't think anybody's making a move to just bring that in, because then they have to tie everything that's with it. Like, I don't know. And then, like, let's say there's a possibility the Heat could get their pick back. Like, are the Heat where they want to dish that up? Like, there's too much complexity with that. So then you get to a point, if you can't move the Terry Rozier deal, then you're talking, you got to give up Tyler with either Norman or Wiggins for, yeah, a very, very talented person, but he never plays.
Kentucky ties.
He does have Kentucky ties. He would be in a great fit with Bam.
No.
But he never plays, no. Vlad.
Can I please just say this? That's the kicker. What is a great fit if you ain't playing?
Maybe
I don't understand. Maybe, like, he just, if he's not playing, culture, it ain't a great fit.
He just needs heat culture. Oh, man. I can't wait. We're going to play this clip later this hour of Kevin Garnett. He made Paul Pierce so mad on his show because he suggested getting Ja to Miami. And, like, Paul Pierce, it's funny because Kevin Garnett, you would think he's the more ornery one based on his career with the Celtics. He was just surly, right? But, like, he respects something with the Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce and me, samesies. We just hate each other.
Because
he's just like, rolling his eyes listening to Kevin Garnett talk about this.
His whole career, this Miami's a big chapter of his basketball career. Whether it's LeBron, the comparison with him and D-Wade. Yeah.
There is no comparison.
He thinks there is.
There's not.
I just said he thinks
there is. Oh, I know he thinks there is, but there's not.
Truth, you know, sometimes the truth is a lie.
Oh, man. The Warriors really getting to know this. This is fun. Vlad, could you imagine if, like, they come off of this road trip and it's just like, ooh, all of a sudden they're staring three games under 500?
They can't win on the road. That's the problem. They're good at home. They can't win on the road. And Steph was sick, so they totally rely on Steph.
He really is, like, he is such a shining light where you're just like, Steph, save us. Because, like, the Warriors have done a lot of goofy stuff ever since the Kevin Durant thing. But this guy's just so damn good. And he's just such a lovable delight. It's just like he can make that. And that's why they make the Jimmy trade, right? Like, they were such a train wreck last year. They were desperate right, to do something for Steph.
But that's what I don't want the Heat to do that.
I don't think
that would seem like a desperation move. It'd be like a move saying, hope it works out.
And you guys know me. I love whaling. I do. But there's such an unknown with this team right now, and a good unknown. We got to just kind of feel it out. Like, we don't know what the ceiling of this is. We don't know if this is going to work in the plus. We all of it's just like, hey, let's just feel this out. We'll see what the future holds. Does Tyler fit into this? Does Norman get extended? What do we do? I don't know if the Heat are, like, if they're killing it in the trade deadline and there's another move to make that they think it over top, maybe. But I kind of feel like, as they probably were plotting, like, no, Let's see what this year is. Let's see how far we go. Then we'll figure out our pieces and make our move in the summer. That's kind of how I feel like it's going to go.
It needs to be, any moves that are made need to start with this phrase, active participant.
And also, you're also coming off such a deal win this summer, right? Like you just got Norman Powell for peanuts. You're going to be, and the Heat have already, already been critical of them being a little too gun shy on some trades because they've been looking for the perfect move.
Well, then why are you so against Anthony? This seems right up your alley.
He's just it's too much
money. You have your limit?
It's too much money and it's too many injuries. Nah. And he wants more money.
And who you have to give away.
And you have to give away a lot. Yeah, like.
You don't want to give Khalil away. You probably don't want to give up Nico.
No, why would we say crazy things? I love those guys.
Because those are the guys being sent to Dallas.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, how much do they expect to get? Because they're going to be like sitting here. I would imagine Dallas has to turn the Anthony Davis move into something that makes you, now nothing's going to make you stomach the Luka thing, but something that makes it like a little, like what's the weakest antacid that can, like a little, like a half a Tums to just make you less sick. But this, but nothing's gonna work. Did you guys see yesterday Cooper Flagg's mom? I didn't see this one when this was going on during our show. Did you see the mom was retweeting stuff like the fans are booing Nico Harrison? He's too much of a distraction. Cooper Flagg and the team doesn't deserve this. And then she's saying this is absolutely affecting the team. This story is crazy how dysfunctional it was over there. Could you imagine if they didn't get Cooper Flagg, though?
I mean, listen. There had to be a wink-wink.
There had to be. There's no way that lottery was on the up and up.
Right. Because I had a conversation with my boy yesterday, and he's like, there's no way that Nico, they just made him the scapegoat. And I'm like, is he really the scapegoat? Or is he a guy that, you know, gambled and lost?
There's part of me that thinks the Lakers are so important to the NBA's brand of having the next star because they always end up with the next star, that whatever franchise loses that star to the Lakers gets a wink. You know?
Yeah.
AD goes to the Lakers, they get Zion. Now we got Luka, they get Cooper Flagg with a 0.8% chance.
Is it Adam Silver realized, you know, superstars need to be in L.A.? Because remember, David Stern didn't allow Chris Paul to go to the Lakers. He put the kibosh on that.
Yeah, but also, like, I think David Stern had a little bit more FU to that. Like, and also, and they were at a point where, you remember, that like, they owned the Hornets at that point. They didn't get bought out by the Saints owner yet, so they were in a little bit of a weird position. So,
or maybe he wanted the Clippers. Everybody wanted a second team in LA to be popular as well.
Yeah, and also they had the big three had just happened, and so like a lot of owners were pissed. Remember, they had to change the CBA. You had Dan Gilbert saying collusion, you know. So there was that too. But I don't know, dude. This felt very frozen ping pong ball-y when this all went down with the Cooper Flagg thing,
right?
You know.
Well, because they thought they were saved.
Right. And he's a kid. He's not even just, he's basically should be out of high school.
Pretty much.
You know? And you're sitting here like, oh, this put this kid in this situation. You got street clothes and Kyrie's coming off a torn ACL. Klay Thompson is washed. Not a great recipe there.
Right.
You know? So. But that's crazy. And then did you see the other story about the fan? So there was this fan who was in a Luka jersey, a Luka Lakers jersey, Leroy, sitting with the owner the night that it happened, like the game before on Monday. And the guy, the story goes that the kid is a season ticket. His dad's a season ticket holder, so they have season tickets pretty close to the bench.
To the owner.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the kid, who's not a kid, I think he looked like 18, 19, you know, old enough to know better, gives the owner the finger, right? And so the dad tells him, hey, you're banned. You're not going to games anymore. You don't behave like that. You're behaving like a knucklehead. So the kid's like, I'm going to go apologize to the owner. Apparently went up, asked security, And the security allowed him to sit next to the owner and apologize. And in the midst of, while wearing a Luka Lakers jersey, by the way, and in the midst of the apology, the guy apparently was like, you know, I didn't realize what a mistake this was. And that was apparently a catalyst to them just saying, we're done with the Nico Harrison thing.
Yeah, this is all BS to me.
Well, because he knew that fan wasn't wrong because he wanted to do that too.
Well, here's my problem. Here's the problem, right? Ain't no way Nico Harrison is just going to do that trade without getting the okay from ownership.
Well, here's how this works. You don't necessarily have to get the okay, but you have to justify doing it, right? And so you could hear in all the stuff that he was saying, right? That's probably what he was telling the owner, and the owner bought it.
Right, but also, and the owner who bought the owners who want a casino and it's been thinking about, there's been rumors that they might move the team to Vegas, also probably didn't want to have the fact that they're nearly going to have to pay this guy 500, maybe $750 million, because he was
right.
going to get
like the there's a
right.
Listen,
so then, that's
there
what
was
I'm
a
saying.
Lot to that discussion.
Right, so then the owner can't be now. Oh, I didn't know I made such a big mistake. Get the hell out of here! What are you talking about?
You didn't realize Luka Doncic was a big deal?
Like, you didn't know just took you to the finals the year before? If you had a problem with him, if you had a problem with the way he was handling things.
Say it in the offseason.
Say it in the offseason. But it seemed to me they were making moves or they were doing things to make it uncomfortable for him.
Or just deal with his problems. Like, who cares? He got to the finals, okay, because he likes beer.
Took his hookah and beer away.
You don't take right, away. You don't take away a Slovenian's
the other
beer.
The problem is Vlad. You are right about this part. It's easy for me to sell an unfavorable move when I attach $250 million to it.
Yeah, I mean he was going to make a lot of money.
When you have that
money.
Much money that you're talking about, somebody is more inclined to listen to reasons why not to pay that money.
Yeah, well, I bet if he's looking at his accounts now, I bet they ain't as good as they were with Luka there.
Because I'm sorry, if I'm giving a guy $250 million or $500 million because he was there for the Supermax, guess what? He's going to have some say in a lot of things that goes on with the team.
I do love a nefarious ownership.
Especially in basketball.
Especially in basketball.
I do like a nefarious owner relocation, though. Kind of like Major League. You just try and make them so bad that now they got to go to Vegas.
Well, I mean, look. Dude is, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what was a worse move, and I know it was. We had this conversation before. But Saquon leaving and going to win a championship, and Luka leaving, and I don't know if he's going to win a championship, but you ain't even close to that.
It's Saquon.
Anymore.
It's Saquon.
I don't know.
It's Saquon. I'll tell you why. It was the vision and the owner. It's like, I hope he doesn't go to the Eagles.
That was really bad. I can't believe
right,
that guy.
The owner's like even telling him.
How did that guy keep his job?
Go to the Eagles.
How did Joe Shane keep his job? I don't understand that.
Classic case of.
How's that not fired on site?
One of us got to go. Yeah, it's going to be you.
Here's what he did. He sacrificed a body so that he could stay alive.
Streets need a body.
Take a break. We're back with more of this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts.
Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.